Carolyn. Thank you to the Sing team. You guys can all stay here. And I'd encourage you to stay here because I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about waiting. Waiting is an interesting thing, isn't it? Waiting can be difficult. Like if you were waiting for mom to get ready this morning, right? Or maybe it was dad in the loo. But waiting can be interesting, right? We can wait for things that are nice. What are some of the nice things that we wait for?
Jesus to come back.
You! High five. For Jesus to come back. If I could give bursaries for George Whitfield College, there's a candidate. But we can wait for nice things like birthdays, and we can wait for nice things like holidays, or in PE, good surf, or good weather, no wind. But we could also be waiting for water. We could be waiting for not so nice things, like if you're going to write an exam, or a driver's license exam, or a test, or maybe you're waiting for an operation. Those aren't nice things, right? Those are scary things. And the longer we wait, the more we can kind of get worried, the longer it takes. And sometimes we talk about this waiting or this longing by the word called anticipation. Can the kids say that word?
Anticipation.
No, not amputation. Can everybody say anticipation? There we go. To wait or to long. Now, it's possible to wait for something without it actually coming to pass in your time. It is possible for you to wait and wait and wait, and you don't actually know when it's going to happen. You don't have the exact time. You don't have the exact place, and you can wait. What is this? Yes, it's a balloon, and I'm going to blow it up, all right? Slowly. Made a funny noise. I'm going to blow it up, but what happens if I blow it up too big? Maybe. Should I keep going? More.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. I'll tell you what, let's get on to Wendy just to tie it off, because this isn't really about balloons, really, hey? It's about Christmas. And so let me just tell you a little bit about another group of people that were waiting. They were called the Israelites. And God had made a promise to them, and God had promised them that he would send a rescuer, somebody who would save them. But some people got tired of waiting. Do you ever get tired of waiting? Well, they got tired of waiting, and they got so tired of waiting that they tried to solve God's promises for him. They kind of took it into their own hands, and they try to fix the problem. They try to gather armies, and they try to inspire people with great speeches, and they even tried to fight back for their land, and every time it failed, because God was going to fix the problem his way, his own way. And there was someone who was found waiting, anticipating, and you know what her name was? Mary. And so I want to read to us about Mary from chapter 1 of Luke's gospel. We read this, the following. In the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, that's Mary, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her. The angel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived of a son. And this is the sixth month with her and with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, what we see here is an incredible story. In fact, we could argue that this is the greatest miracle in all of Scripture. The story of Christmas brings us immediately into contact with the supernatural. The coming of the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, coming into our world. How did this happen? Well, the text tells us, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power, it's going to happen by the power of God, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. We call this the incarnation. There's another big word for us. The incarnation is at the very heart of Christmas. The incarnation is the eternal Son of God taking on human flesh. Or in the words of Charles Spurgeon, he said it this way, he that made man was made man. And so what's Mary up to? Well, Mary, like any good Jewish girl, Mary is waiting. Mary is anticipating. Mary is longing that at some point in Israel's history, God would fulfill his promise. God, would you do it? But who would ever have imagined that he would do it this way? And so what we learn from Mary was that what would most, in most cases, be seemingly unbelievable was believable. Can you say believable, kids?
Believable.
Well done. So here's what we learned from Mary. Just two things. One is Mary knew God's word, and Mary believed God's word. Listen to how Mary responds in verse 38. She says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. She was willing, right? She was waiting. She was anticipating. And let's be honest, I think in Israel there was a low ebb of anticipation, maybe just a dim flicker of anticipation, but at least it was there. But in Mary, it seems like there was a willingness. She says, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. Now, no doubt she was surprised, no doubt she was caught off guard, no doubt when she heard the message, she linked it to promises. Why? Because she knew. Mary knew God's word. Mary grew up in a Jewish home. Mary was schooled in the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament. And Mary knew what this message was all about. Mary knew that God was about to fulfill his promise. She had sung it. She had prayed it. She had heard it. She had read it. Hebrew generation after Hebrew generation were waiting in anticipation. They had discussed these promises over the dinner table. They had sat down and chatted about them. When is it that God is actually going to send a redeemer? And so when this happens, Mary knew. She joined the dots. She knew the text. She knew the promises. She knew the prophecies. Was it overwhelming? No doubt. It was overwhelming, but for various reasons. Overwhelming because how is it going to happen? Overwhelming because this is the moment we've been waiting for. And one of the promises she would have thought about would have been from Genesis chapter 3, where we read this, that God says, I will put enmity, distance, between you and the woman. What woman? Oh, there's a woman that's going to be involved. And between your offspring and her offspring. Mary, you're going to conceive and you're going to have offspring. Could this be it? He, your offspring, will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And there is this ancient prophecy that Mary recalls with many others, and she says, I am your servant. Let it be done to me according to your word. Listen to what Mary's cousin says about Mary in verse 45. Mary's cousin Elizabeth says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So, the first thing we see here is that Mary knew. She might not have known the full detail. She might not have known the full weight of what was going to happen, but she knew God's word, which is why she believed God's word. I want us to listen to Mary's song. And we're going to have two of our young kids come and read Mary's song for us. We're going to hear it firstly in Afrikaans from Lucas. Lucas is going to read us Mary's song from Luke 1. And then Michaela is going to read it to us in English. Now, the reason we're doing this is because across the road at our kids' church, we've been engaging in this way with scripture readings and memory verses because we want to serve the congregation that God has put in our midst. And so, Lucas, thank you for coming to share. Are you ready? Thanks, boy.
Maria het toe gesê, ek maak die naam van die Here groot. Ek juig oor God. Hy is my redder. Ek is glad nie belangrik nie. Ek is maar een van God se diensmeisies. Toch het hy my raak gesien. Van nou af sal my naam op almal se lippe wees. Alle geslagte sal sê dat ek die gelukkigste vrou op aarde is, want die Almagtige het groot dinge aan my gedoen. Hy is heilig. Daar is niemand soos hy nie. Sy goedheid hou aan van geslag tot geslag. Die Here het die magtige ding, het magtige dinge gedoen. Hy het maar net 'n beweging met sy hand gemaak, dan het groot dinge gebeur. Almal wat te veel van hulself dink, het hy oor die aarde verstrooi. Magtige heersers het hy van hulle trone afgestamp en nederige mense belangrik gemaak. Honger mense het hy by 'n feestmaal aansit, terwyl die rykes met leë hande moes wegstap. God het sy volk Israel baie jammer gekry. Hy het nooit sy beloftes vergeet nie wat hy aan hulle gemaak het nie. Hy het sy goedheid oor hulle uitgestort, presies net soos hy aan Abraham beloof het, aan hom en aan sy hele nageslag. Ja, God se beloftes is vir altyd waar. Maria het amper 3 maande by Elisabeth gebly en daarna het sy haar huis toe teruggegaan.
Wow. Well done, boy. Are we going to have an interpretation? Thanks, Michaela. If you want to come and read. Do you want me to hold it?
Okay. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our forefathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.
Wow. Well done. Thank you, Michaela. Well, as you could see and hear, Mary is rejoicing. So yes, she's overwhelmed, but she knows that this is the long-awaited Messiah. The promises of God, the prophecies of God are coming to pass. And Mary bursts forth in praise. And she, in this particular song, she grabs hold of verses of scripture from all over the Old Testament, and she pulls them together and she puts it together in a beautiful poem. Beautiful song of praise. Now, people imagined that God would do this, but maybe in a different way. And Mary actually sees something here that is completely otherworldly, very different. This wasn't how they anticipated it would unfold. Yes, they anticipated it would happen, but the details seem very different. This seems rather upside down. People thought that God would send an impressive king, that maybe God would send someone who was rich and powerful, like the other governments and the other kings. But what we see God doing is stooping. God actually bends low, and God comes humbly as a servant. God, the eternal king, comes as a lowly servant. I mean, listen to what she says in verse 51 to 53. She says, he has shown strength with his arm. What kind of strength? He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Wow, what is going on here? Could we ever have imagined this? Whoa. That did. But you weren't expecting it, right? Nobody knew when Jesus was going to come. Did you get a surprise? Good, I'll work you up. Nobody believed that God would do it like this. How was God going to do this? Was he going to send a mighty army? Was he going to send a prince? What did he send? He did, as a baby. Mary was just a normal, everyday girl who was waiting. You see, everyone, hear me. Christmas is not a fairy tale. It is a faithful tale of how God humbled himself to come to earth. He didn't come to earth for a show. He came to earth for salvation. And when he came, when God came in the person of his son, he didn't come in the cloud. He didn't come in the wind. He didn't come in the fire. He didn't come in the earthquake. He didn't come as a bird. He didn't come as a great big sea creature or even a roaring lion. He came as a baby. He came like us because he came to save us. He came to save us, and so he became like us so that he could save us completely. He came in the weakness of a little baby to display the greatness of God. He humbled himself to show the glory of God. And you ask, how is that humbling himself? How is that to show the glory of God? Well, what we realize here in the story is that we cannot make our way to God. He has to make his way to us. There is no way we can save ourselves. God has to take the initiative. And oh boy, did he take the initiative. God, the greatest and mightiest of all, lays aside his privilege, lays aside his crown, lays aside his riches, and comes to earth as a little baby boy. And I want to close with this thought. The smallness, the humility, the weakness of this little boy Jesus is a picture that there is no grounds for boasting. We cannot present ourselves to God and say, look how good I am. No, God has to humble himself, and he comes for the weak. He comes for the lowly. He comes for sinners like you and me. He comes to us. Because we can't get to him. He comes. He takes the initiative. He does the work. And so this Christmas, don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on God coming to you. Don't miss out on him coming to you, visiting you. Will you be ready? Will you be anticipating? Will you be waiting? Will you be prepared to say these words, here I am. I am your servant. Let it be done to me according to your word. Will you humble yourself? Will you humble yourself and receive the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ? We're going to pray together, and the sing team is going to lead us one more time. I think there's two more songs. But why don't we, as we embark this next month, is Christmas month for us as a church, and we're going to be preaching through different characters of Christmas. This morning we've reminded ourselves of Mary and her response. The next few weeks we're going to be looking at other people. But I want to just invite you to anticipate meeting with God in this month. May this Christmas be a different Christmas for you. Yes, it's about family and it's about friends and it's about festivities. But my prayer for us as a church is that we would have a longing to meet with God. And that He would enter our hearts and enter our lives. That we would bow and humble ourselves before Him and allow Him in. There is no other way of salvation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You that here we see that Mary not only knew these things, but she believed it. She treasured it in her heart. And so we thank You that faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not a leap into the dark. No, no. Faith is rooted in fact. We know truth about God. We know truth about His promises. We know truth about His prophecies. We know truth about Scripture. And we see it fulfilled in Christ. And so we thank You that we can build our faith upon truth. That we can know these things, but we can also believe them. We can trust You, Lord. That You are a faithful God. And that if You send Christ once, You will send Him again. And may You fill our hearts with longing and anticipation. Not only to meet Jesus this Christmas, but that on that day when Christ returns, we'll be ready and we'll be waiting. And we will be saying, "Here I am, Your servant." And so, Lord, I pray this for all of us, that You would create in us a longing, a waiting, and anticipation. Thank You that when You come, You will right all wrongs, that this upside-down world You will fix. And we long for that, Lord Jesus. We say, come. Come again, Lord Jesus. Come again. We long for it. In Jesus' name, amen.